Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, she thought she was just being forgetful about the cabinets, but when her bird started screaming in the middle of the night, she began to wonder what it was seeing that she couldn't.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, welcome to the program. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear them. You can write them in 24/7. Or call them in 24/7 at 855-853-4802 or realghoststoriesonline.com. We'd love for you to join us there. Also, Patreon. We got our channel there, realghoststoriesonline.com. Write in your story, Patreon, just search Real Ghost Stories Online there. Thinking about making a Substack for our channel.
How would that work? How would that work?
Substack is a really interesting platform. We've been using it over on True Crime Now since the beginning of the year at Hidden Killers. And I think what I would do with it is put our video content there.
All right.
And we'll put the podcast there too and episodes and such. And I think that would be kind of the premium area, the modernized premium area of it. We could add the video over to Patreon as well. But I think we may have some interesting premium options here in the near future for the program. But a lot of people are using Substack. It's a really nice platform. I really like it. I feel like it works
about it. Because I haven't played around with it at all.
It's easy to navigate. It's easy to use from a creator standpoint, and it's easy to consume the content from a consumer standpoint. And it makes it really easy for all of us to interact with each other in terms of us here at the studio and the listeners back at their home or on their phone or on their device. It's I don't know. It just really, I like it. There's your mass platforms, your YouTubes and all that, but Substack kind of makes a smaller community of it. And we've always seen little variations of it over the decades. I think this is kind of a new wave of it. And I think it might be a place for us to put some of our content. So that might be coming in the near future for those of you who use Substack, by the way. So
cool.
Yeah, check it out. Hi. How is everyone doing this fine day?
I'm fine.
Your broadcast episodes, your broadcast day, you're doing good. You're doing fine, Carol.
I'm doing pretty good. I'm going to a basketball game tonight.
Yes, you are.
So, that's exciting.
Harlem Globetrotters versus the...
I'm already dressed in my gear. I'm ready to go.
Why is it that whenever I think of Scooby-Doo, the first thing I think of is Harlem Globetrotters?
Because it was a great episode. That's why.
It was. It's like the only episode everyone remembers, too, it seems like, with the cartoons.
Oh, I don't know. I remember the Mamas and Papas. Cass Elliot was on there. Oh,
that was a good one, too.
Boy, there were so many. Do you remember those, Carol? Like when they would have the guest stars on it? And like,
no, I don't.
Who's the guy that played
Scooby-Doo?
Yeah. Scooby-Doo, yeah.
They like had the 70s episodes, yeah.
I wrote two parody Scooby-Doo plays.
How do you not know this?
How did I not come across that? Because I wrote What Would Scooby Do? And then I wrote What Would Scooby Do Now? I write really highbrow stuff, but actually they were very funny. But how did I not come across that in all my
research? I don't know. Who's the guy that played Mr. Burley from Three's Company?
Oh, I don't know.
I can see his face. I can't think of his name.
Yeah, I mean, he was on there.
That was an exciting reason to be hanging out at my grandmother's house in the afternoon because she had cable television. We did not. And I remember I could watch Scooby-Doo there. And, oh, here's one. Who remembers this? Ghostbusters.
Yep.
Not the one with the animal, the one with the ape.
The unofficial Ghostbusters, right?
They were the original Ghostbusters. It's right. The reason why the latter one had to call themselves in their cartoon form the real Ghostbusters, because Ghostbusters was already a copywritten term prior to the Bill Murray, you know, the version that we know today, the Ivan Reitman version of it. Do you remember this? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. I do.
There was a cartoon and there was a live action.
I don't remember the live action, though.
It was a very, I don't think there's a lot of episodes of it. And I think it was either Canadian or something. So it wasn't on a lot of stuff, but it does exist. But it's kind of one of those things out in the ether that's never been brought back into the world, you know, probably because of copyright reasons and such. But they're the ones who actually hold the copyright to the name Ghostbusters.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Didn't know that. I just looked up Carol for You. Sonny and Cher was on the Scooby-Doo. Sandy Duncan, Don Adams, Jonathan Winters, Globetrotters, Batman and Robin, all on Scooby-Doo.
Dang.
Guest stars on cartoons.
It was called The New Scooby-Doo Movies. So if you look up that title, that's what that was.
That's what it was called? The New Scooby-Doo Movies?
Yes, sir.
Oh, no, that's what it's called on YouTube. That's what?
No, that was the name of the show that the guest stars were on. It was really? Called The New Scooby-Doo Movies.
Was this like a one random season shit that
probably.
And this is, it just kind of got sprinkled in amongst the Scooby-Doos, basically.
I think it was a latter version, because, you know, there was Scooby-Doo, then there's Scooby-Doo, Where Are You, and blah, 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 and all that. This looks like the Little Rascals were on there.
Oh. You know, one of the weird things in life that I've experienced living in different places, Branson, there was like two or three of the mystery vans that were, you'd find them any random place.
Why?
Well, there was a car museum there that had actually one of them from the movies. And then it's Branson. And I, have you been to Branson ever, Todd?
I have not. No.
Okay. Oh, you're not missing anything. I'm missing out. Carol, have you been to Branson?
Yes, I have. In fact, I went when
You've been there when you visited me there. Yeah.
I've been there four or five times.
Yeah. It's Branson. I don't know another way to say it. But there's obviously there's a lot of nostalgia that's at play there. For the audience that come in for a long time, it was the World War II generation that were coming in, you know, and then it became more boomers. And now it's kind of trying to figure out a new identity. But, you know, it plays to the nostalgia and childhood of a lot of people. So there's a lot of that sort of stuff. So there was Scooby-Doo vans. There was all sorts of shit. There's like a goat. There's actually a really good car museum there that has a lot of really interesting, like, cars from television. And you have everything from, like, Breaking Bad vehicles to Ghostbuster to one of the original Batman cars from, like, the 60s. It's a lot of interesting stuff around there. But for whatever reason, there was like two or three, what is it, the mystery, what was the van called? The
Mystery Machine.
Mystery Machine. It was like two or three of them, like randomly, you'd see all over the place. And it was kind of weird. Sometimes you'd see them in weird places. Sometimes you'd be driving down like a weird, you know, lone road on your way home. And there's like the fucking mystery van, like kind of off on, like, are they out investigating? It was kind of a weird thought, but you know. All right, let's go to our first ghost story at 855-853-4802. Hi.
Hi, my name's Dee from Ohio, and I got a story about my bird and my sister. I'll start with the one about my bird. So I have a cockatiel, and she's a spaz like most birds, but usually really mellow, and when the lights go out, she does not move. She stays still, stays quiet, and sleep. It's like the world stops existing around her once night happens. So there is something that birds can deal with called night frights, which is something can startle them in the middle of the night. And since they can't see, birds have really low, really bad low light vision. But since they can't see, they just freak out and start flapping and going crazy. But my bird, Paisley, has never once done that. She is about seven now. and they can live to be anywhere between 15 and 20. So around this time, I had started noticing things like, you know, things not being in the spot that I put them, doors being left open, like cabinets and things like that. And the thing with my bird Paisley is she started having violent, violent night frights to the point where I would have to turn on the light, take her out, and check to make sure she didn't break anything or hurt anything. Because when a bird has night frights, usually they'll just flap around. But she was making an alarm noise every single time. And it sounds like somebody's blowing a really annoying whistle whenever she does her alarm noise. And this happened consistently along the time that I started noticing cabinets and things being moved. Every night, and I'd wake up, and it wouldn't be the witching hour. It wouldn't be 3 o'clock. It'd be like 2 or 4. And by boy, howdy, I got tired of it. I can handle the cabinets. I can handle the moving objects. I have ADHD. I lose things and forget things all the time. So I just chalked that up to being, you know, me being careless. But this was very aggressive. And so one night I just started stomping around the house, screaming and hollering, "This is my space. You're not allowed here in the name of God," this, that, and the other. And after that, there was no more cabinets being left open, and I did still lose things, but my bird stopped having night frights. A week long of her having night frights, and I just had to go stomp around the house screaming at it. So thankfully, it wasn't a difficult spirit to deal with, if it was a spirit at all. Now, the next story is about my sister, and this happened when I was really young, so I'm just relaying the story from her. She every night would see somebody walking down the stairs. So my family home is hundreds of years old, very, very old. And she would see somebody walking down the stairs. And every night she'd look out, and she always thought it was me. So she kind of just brushed it off until one night where the person she saw going down the stairs was uplit because there was a light downstairs that was on, and she could see through her head. Now, my sister is very open and sensitive to things like this, and I'm blind as a bat. I couldn't see a spirit if it were like making funny faces in my face. You know what I mean? But she sees this stuff all the time. This was one of her earliest experiences. Later on, come to find out that our neighbor girl lives diagonal from us right across the street, saw a similar woman in the front room window. Now, I forgot to describe this woman. She has long hair, very pale. Everything about her is very pale. Erica always said that she had light colored hair, a long dress on, which I always wore a nightgown to bed. So she thought it was just me. That's why. But yeah, our neighbor girl confirmed it the one day we were all sitting there, grown adults, talking about our past. And she's like, "Oh yeah, I saw a woman in your front window multiple times. I just thought it was you," meaning my sister. And Eric is like, "No, that was not me." And then Eric goes on to tell us the story about the woman that walks down the stairs. Well, if you play this, thanks. If not, oh well, better luck next time. I adore the show. Thank you so much for having it, and have a great year.
Thanks for sharing your story with us. Thoughts on that?
Well, I think that bird thing is very interesting because my old roommate did have birds, and they do stay super quiet at night. I didn't know about that night terrors thing, but I think it's interesting that she's seeing weird things around her house at the same time her bird is reacting like that. I think that's not coincidental.
Yeah.
And then I think it's very interesting when you get together as adults and you talk about things that kind of confirms what happened when they were kids, you know, but somebody is one thing when it's within the family, it's a whole nother thing when it's a neighbor girl across the street seeing the activity in your house.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how I'd feel if a neighbor said, "Oh, I keep seeing this person standing in your window." What?
That happened when I was a kid. My neighbor would see things happen in my house.
Really?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Share more.
Oh, I have shared more.
I know, but it's been a while.
Well, there was one time we went out of town. Well, she would see lights turn on and things like that when we weren't home anyway. And it was a really little town. There's nobody going through our house. Mm-hmm. We had nothing. And, but she would see things like that. But one time I loved her house because her house was super cool and had a great energy about it. And her mom was super hip. And, so I would spend all day at her house and then go back to mine. So we'd been out of town all weekend at my grandma's and came back, and I was over at Brenda's house, and she said, "When you were gone this weekend, I saw someone go in your room, so the upstairs bedroom, turn on the light and sit on my bed."
Ooh.
And she saw it from her house. Duh. And I just remember my reaction was embarrassment. I'm like, "Oh my God." And I was like, "Oh, I just, you know, what do you even say?" Like, okay, it's just my house. But that's interesting that she would see it from her house, because that's the room they sat in to watch TV. And you can easily see my house.
It's interesting how you felt it as embarrassment, but it's like such a crazy thing. You know, it's like, but you're like, yeah, that happens.
I was so embarrassed. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, again, those damn ghosts.
Regular house. But she was always pretty cool about it. But I just thought that was very crazy that nobody's even home. And
right. And
that wasn't the only time, but it was more of a turning lights on and off or looking over and seeing something kind of walk by. And it would be that, did I see what I see thing for her?
Yeah.
You know, I think I saw that, but did I?
Right.
But that day she really did.
Nope. Yeah. I'm sorry. If that were my room and that happened, I would never sleep in that room ever again. I'd be done.
That house was, and Kathy and I were talking about it on an episode recently, because I looked up the house, and I've looked it up before, but I've never seen like a realtor.com listing for it with pictures. And I did. I found it. And it was really weird because it's been so renovated since then. But it was really weird to look at those pictures and figure out what I was looking at.
How long ago was this?
Oh, I was a kid.
No, I mean, like when you saw the realtor pictures.
Last 2 weeks ago.
That's, oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, because this is new.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was really strange.
You got to send me these.
Okay.
Please do send me that link, because we talked about this for, yeah. Can pets have night terrors?
I've seen like my pet have those, like where his little
feet. Well, yeah, I'm like, I'm watching during that call. I texted you guys a picture of Belle, who's laying down here on the ground. It kind of blends in with the floor. Very much so. And she's laying at the worst possible spot. If someone's to slam this door open, she's going flying. but hopefully the other dogs won't do that, because the other dogs open the doors. But she's kind of having some little, you know, twitchy, but they all, I mean, pets do that. We all have pets that sleep and then they twitch a little bit. They're dreaming, you know, that's what's going on. But I, you know, as humans sometimes can wake up in a night terror, in a fit of horror or whatever it may be. Can pets do that? I don't know. I mean, that's kind of a scary thought sometimes, especially like with a dog, like, especially if you've got a big dog or something that could cause some damage. If they wake up and they're thinking they're under attack and you're like right there in bed, could they tear you apart, you know, because they're in, you know, a crazed state of fear. I don't know. We didn't really hear about that much. Is that a thing?
There's some videos online of dogs dreaming and stuff. And some of them are really, when they finally come to, they're like jumping around, running around and biting and stuff like that. So I would imagine that they're susceptible to that kind of stuff as well. Maybe we just don't know it.
Yeah, they just kind of pop out of it. I mean, and it's like, well, people too. I mean, I guess it's kind of the same thing. It's like, because you have night terrors, I mean, you're like getting up and stabbing your family.
Right.
You know, but you're kind of, I mean, I've had it. I've woken up from a dream before and like been like totally out of it and like jumping out of bed. Where I had one, I remember like year, this was in Wichita it was. I remember being in my apartment in Wichita, in the apartment where there was the head that was in the middle of the pond. true story.
Yeah, that is a true story.
Get to that in a second, context. But I remember waking up from some sort of a nightmare. And for whatever reason, I thought there was like snakes in my bed or something. And I remember jumping out of bed, literally. And there was a girl I was dating at the time that was sleeping over. Uh-oh. And I remember literally like waking up, still kind of being in that dream state and like, and like not getting out on my side of the bed, but literally jumping over her and coming out on that side of the bed going,
How soon after this happened did she break up with you?
I think it was later that morning. Because I think we were in bed together and it was kind of like one of those, like, we're not really together anymore, but we're kind of exploring it. And I don't think that helped.
Things are just deal breakers.
It was kind of like, yeah. That was, God, that was like 25 years ago. But I do remember that, like, and I was like, my God, this is weird. The apartment had, he was like, what's about that? So this apartment complex I lived in, the Newport, and it's, you know, marketed, you know, I mean, it was actually a really nice apartment complex. Brand new when I moved there, it was big buildings, but they were really nice. They were like, there was an actual, and I don't know how smart this is, but there was a working fireplace in the apartment, like wood.
Wow.
Like, I'm horrified by this idea today.
Yeah.
Back then it was like, this is going to be cool. You know, you're like 20 something and you're like, oh, this is going to be. And surprisingly, none of them have burned down. maybe they're not wood anymore. But anyway, when I moved in, I remember going to like the front office and they got like a pool and it's a lovely complex. And, like, okay, you know, they're telling me about the place and nowhere do they happen to mention that a cleaning lady was decapitated and they never found the head.
What?
They didn't.
And, because I'm like, what's crime like in the area? Like, this is early 2000s. There's not like the super resources that we have today to find this information out. And, oh, it's good. There's no real, real things around here. And then I go to Best Buy to buy a washer and dryer that day. It's the Best Buy folks that clued me in. They're like, what's your address to deliver it? And, oh, did they ever find the head? That's the first thing they said to me when I bought the dryer. Did they ever find the head? It wasn't like, would you like financing? Did they ever find the hat over there? I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I just moved here. And
happened that long before then.
No, it really wasn't. And I had like, I had been there for a couple days and I was really starting to enjoy it. I was like a big pond. I went and walked around it at night with my, it was probably like a CD Walkman or something. Maybe it was MP3 at the time. I don't know. But I remember walking around the pond, like, just enjoying it, like, this is great, this is nice. And then did they find the head? And every time I walked around that pond after that, every night, I'm like, is there a head in there? And I don't know that they ever did find the head. I don't think they did. But that was one of those welcome to Wichita presents. Because then, like, the next day, I'm at a live broadcast downtown, and it was River Fest, which is a big festival that takes place in Wichita. And it's downtown, and it's a lovely little local festival. And I'm new to town. Everybody wants to fill me in on everything. And the first thing they go, hey, you remember have you heard of the sniper that was up there on that building picking people off in the 70s? Oh, dang it.
What the hell goes on in that city? Holy crap.
What are you talking about?
In the 70s.
This is just after BTK was arrested. This is like a year after. Like, so Dennis Rader, just all that wrapped up. And it was like within 12 months.
An exciting time for my city.
Yeah, so everybody's like serial killer frenzy. And then the next thing I hear is like, oh, you hear about the Carr brothers? And that's another horror. That's like one where it's so dark. Nobody's done movies on it. Nobody's done documentaries on it because it's too dark.
And what was horrible was I was doing a morning show at that time by myself. And there had been a murder, quadruple murder, 5 days before that. And so the morning show is all about this. Then I go in the next week. The news director's like, there's been a murder. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, it's ongoing. They're looking for the people. And that was the Carr brothers one. Yeah. So there was two quadruple murders in less than a week. And the Carr brothers was so depraved and so horrific and cruel and all of the things. And during my morning shift, during this time, they arrest him. So the whole morning, it was just this constant news updates. It was horrific. They found the people. It's one of the worst things I've ever heard.
Now I got to go online and I got to look up the Carr brothers.
Oh, you don't want to.
Really?
A fucking nightmare.
And they're on death row. They were sentenced to death.
But there's no death. Moratorium, whatever it is. And yeah.
And so it just gives them the right to appeal every other year, I'd say.
Do we have another ghost story on this episode or are we done?
We had another one, but I'm going to have to leave.
We don't have to do it. I'll leave you with this horror story of the Carr brothers. You remember the details too, don't you, Carol?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't have like, I mean, I'm just going to give you the cliff notes and you fill in the whatever you want. You don't have to go into like all that. But essentially it was these two brothers who, and correct me if I'm wrong here along the way, they broke into this group of friends. I think like in their 20s and they're having to get together, you know, they're having drinks and playing games. It was nothing crazy. It was like a rager. It was just, you know, 20 some young adults, you know, enjoying life. And they broke in and it was a bunch of couples and they made them have sex with the wrong partners. And then they took them to the field and executed them. And there was one that survived. What? They're all shot in the head, execution style. One made it. One crawled out of the field and was able to tell the story. And that's how we know what actually happened.
She was naked.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, but it was, they tortured them for hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, this went on for like 8 hours. And then at one point they loaded up one or two of the women. They took them to ATMs, stole money, got money out of their ATMs, wiped out their bank accounts. So then their pictures are all over there. And so they're, you know, there's clues everywhere. And so they knew what kind of car they were looking for quickly. It was just crazy how this all came down in my morning show.
Yeah.
Like, next thing I know, there was a sighting of the car at this apartment community. They arrest him. It was just, I'm glad they were arrested very quickly, but man,
it was so depraved. I mean, it was like, just like,
they did really cruel things. They killed the dog in front of them.
Yeah.
It's like Epstein level depraved. I mean, maybe not quite, but it's like, it's on the track there where it's like, it's beyond just the normal, I guess. I don't know what normal is, but it was beyond that. And that's why because it's a big story, but it was so dark. It's just like,
yeah.
Nobody wants to fucking touch it because it's just, nobody wants it because it's so dark. It makes me wonder, though, too, how many stories are there like that around that are just, that reach that level, that are just too dark, that we don't ever learn about or touch because they're just kind of within communities and they were never really publicized beyond what they were, just in a time prior to the true crime era that we have now, because that was right before it. There's got to be a lot.
I'm guessing.
Got to go find the microfilms and digging. All right. Carol needs to go to a basketball game. You go cheer on those Shockers. Yeah.
I got my gear on. I'm ready to go.
All right. If you like the program, be sure to press subscribe and be sure to check us out on Patreon. Search Real Ghost Stories online. Also on Apple Podcasts as well. We got our premium channel there. Press subscribe and check us out there. Help support the program and keep us on the air. Until next time, for all of us. And I started the music a little late there on that. So I'm going to talk now about two leg and thigh chicken dinners. They are delicious. They're scrumptious. You can get two sides. Pick what you want, and they're wonderful. For Todd, for Carol, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for The New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery. But we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's The Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.